This happened almost 4 years ago now, on a road trip I was taking across the country. I'm a frequent traveler and adventurer, going on long road trips and stopping at great hiking and camping locations all around the nation. At the time, I'd been on the road for well over a month and was taking a short break at a small town in Nevada. While at the bar talking with the locals, they asked me if I was here to see the mines. I didn't know exactly what they meant and asked for more details, and they all talked about how there were hundreds of abandoned mines and mining towns all over the state. When I went back to my camper that night, I looked it up and found all these interesting mines not far from where I was. I had planned to just pass through Nevada as a whole, but after seeing this, I couldn't help myself. The next day, I set out for one of the abandoned mining towns. The actual hiking portion only took an hour and a half, but it was mostly uphill. When I arrived, the town was on a flat portion of the large hill. There were 20 to 30 small wooden buildings, and in the center of the town was a railroad leading into the hill where the mine entrance was. I walked along this railroad, looking at the identical rows of wooden structures. I was more interested in the actual mine than I was in the ghost town, but it was still cool to see. I checked out one of the structures, but it was full of dirt and rubble, and I was sure that all the others would probably be the same. At the entrance to the mine, I took out my flashlight, and when I pointed it through, the tunnel was so long that I couldn't even see the end. I started walking, and the further inside I got, the more quiet everything was, until eventually, it was just the sound of my footsteps echoing through the mine. After a couple minutes, I reached the end of the railroad tracks and was met by a sign that said the area beyond was closed. Of course, I walked past it. The tunnel very quickly became shallower and less well-rounded. There was then a turn that started going down at a slope, and at one section of it, the floor had caved in. Someone before me had set up some makeshift walkway to get across the opening, but it seemed incredibly dangerous and unstable. I pointed the flashlight down, and the drop was enough to have me permanently trapped if I were to fall. I decided to turn back and went down one of the other side passages that I'd passed up previously and found myself at a ladder going down a steep tunnel. Again, I shined my flashlight and saw that the bottom of the ladder wasn't even visible. I started my descent, but not long into it, I heard something from below. It was a loud thud echoing through the mine. The echo made it hard to know how close or far it was. I pointed my flashlight down, and while I didn't see the cause of the sound, I did see the bottom. I climbed down and found myself at the base of another passageway, and a few feet in, I found what caused the thud. There was a large rock sitting in the middle of the tunnel, which I thought could have fallen from the ceiling. But it wasn't hard to tell that it was an entirely different kind of rock, which begged the question, how did it fall and create a thud? I got my answer when I pointed the flashlight further down the tunnel. Two almost unidentifiable people stood in the middle of the passage about 10 feet down. One man and one woman. I knew from one look that they were not explorers. The way they looked at me was like they didn't even know I was a person. I started backing up, being cautious with my movements to not make them feel threatened in any way. When I got to the ladder, I dreaded putting the flashlight in my pocket and started climbing up. Part of the way up, I swear, I heard someone grab onto the rungs below me and begin climbing up quickly. I looked down and saw nothing but darkness. I screamed and began climbing up as fast as I could. I sprinted out of the mine and away from the ghost town. During the hike back, I collected my thoughts, thinking maybe what I heard was their footsteps, and in the moment I'd just mistaken it for them climbing up after me, but it was still terrifying. I drove down to a police station in the area and reported what had happened, but as far as I know, the police didn't do any sort of search or anything, despite me telling them that they looked malnourished and deeply insane. Even if they didn't know it themselves, they seriously needed help. I did some digging online since then, and thought of some interesting theories as to why they may have been there to begin with. There were several cases from around the area of couples that went missing within the past 10 years, mostly due to committing horrible crimes and likely running away from the police. It just makes me think how if that were to be true, and these were two people who'd committed terrible crimes, then I was very lucky to have escaped after seeing them. Me and my best friend Glenn grew up in a small town far from any big cities. The population was less than 1,000, so yeah, it was very local and everyone knew everyone. Growing up, rumors would spread about various creepy things that would go on in the town, all most likely fake, but one of the words that would spread was of this small community a few miles out in the surrounding woods that was abandoned decades ago. By the time Glenn and I were in high school, we found out from multiple people that the community was actually real and there was a whole history to it. After finding that out, it was impossible for us to resist the urge to go out there and see what all the talk was about. We tried planning the whole trip out, but in the end, we just packed a backpack with some water and flashlights, then headed into the woods. We got some basic directions to this poorly made trail that supposedly led there, and we followed it down for about 3 miles, but then it ended. There were no other trails or anything, it was just a dead end. My immediate thought was that we'd been set up by some elaborate prank, but Glenn wasn't convinced. He somehow got me to follow him for another 1/2 mile through the woods, not following any trail or directions. By then, we'd already been out longer than expected, and the sun wasn't at its highest. I was nervous about getting lost without the sunlight or a clear path to follow, but just before we turned back, Glenn spotted a shape in the distance. It was too far to see exactly what, but it was rigid and definitely man-made. As we got closer, the shape revealed itself to be a worn and broken-down cabin. The roof had caved in, and it looked like people had been around here recently, but when we walked around to the other side of the cabin, there was a large field where all the trees had been cut down. In the field stood 6 cabins of varying sizes, along with a few other structures that I couldn't really identify. Both of us were shocked to actually have found this place, and in person, it was way creepier than we ever could have imagined. The houses were all falling apart in one way or another. We walked over to one of the cabins close to us and went inside. It was trashed, but it looked like most of the furniture, like wooden chairs and tables, were still intact and sitting in the same place they had been decades ago. The sunset was casting long shadows on everything, which really just gave it all an eerie feeling. I went into what I think was supposed to be the bedroom, but as I looked around, I heard someone walking outside the cabin. I turned around to give Glenn a nervous look, but he wasn't there. Staying quiet, I looked through a crack in the wall to see if the person outside was Glenn, but as the footsteps came closer, I caught sight of them. It was a tall, old man, I'd say mid-50s, half naked, and the clothes he did have on were torn and disgusting. He walked past the cabin, and I turned back and started looking through the rooms for Glenn, but he must have left at some point. I exited through an empty window frame and stayed behind the cabin as I tried to scan the whole field for any sign of Glenn, but I saw no signs of him. I assumed he was exploring one of the other houses, but I had no idea if he was even aware of this man that had just entered the abandoned community. In my frantic state of moving around the outside of the cabin and searching for Glenn, I realized I'd lost sight of the man. I was struggling to keep myself calm, and the whole woods was getting darker by the minute. Then all of a sudden, there was a horrifying scream from the other side of the abandoned town. I peered around the cabin and saw Glenn running through the open field. Once he saw me, we both ran into the woods back toward home. Thankfully, we found the trail before the sun fully set, because once the sun went down, we could only see a few feet ahead. When we finally got back, I asked Glenn what happened. He said he was exploring one of the houses, and as he did, he started to realize that it didn't look as abandoned as the others, and someone was likely living there. When he turned to leave, the same man I'd seen was standing on the other side of the cabin, holding a knife. He described his eyes as having a look of hunger, and without hesitation, the man charged at him. Glenn screamed and ran, and I guess the man didn't chase very far. We don't know what that man would have done to us, but it was stupid to have even gone to that abandoned town in the first place. And it almost cost us our lives to figure that out. Last year was my senior year of high school, and my friend group was always full of dumb ideas. All it took was a boring weekend night for us to go out and find anything to entertain us. That's exactly what happened this night. It was me and my two other friends, hanging out and just trying to think of something to do. One of them, Mikey, had been talking of this abandoned place nearby for the past few weeks. We pushed it off for a while, but now with nothing to do, it didn't sound all that bad of an idea to go exploring. He said it was a house on the edge of town where all the farmland was, but aside from the location, that was about all he knew. Me and the other friend shrugged and said why not, and within 15 minutes we were on the road. We drove for a half hour until we reached the point where Mikey said to turn off onto an unpaved road, and a few minutes later we exited the tree line and were right in front of the house. It was a very large house with a huge plot of abandoned farmland around it. We got out of the car and each took a flashlight, then approached the front door. I turned the knob and it was unlocked, but when I tried shoving it open, it was blocked by something heavy on the other side. We went around to the back and tried the back door, but that door was locked. We resorted to crawling through a busted window on the side of the house. As soon as we were in, a strong, awful smell took over. It was like a mixture of mold and rotting animal carcass. I mean, this was the worst smell I'd ever experienced by a long shot. My friends didn't seem as fazed as I was, so we kept moving in. Right away, we noticed footprints all throughout the dusty hallway floors. We thought nothing of it because we figured this place had basically been a tourist attraction for stupid teenagers like us. The whole place was unnervingly empty though. There wasn't any old furniture or garbage on the floor. As we walked through the first few rooms, we reached the hallway that led to the front door, and against the front door was an old couch with a bunch of boxes on top of it. Whoever had done that had taken what looked like everything from inside the house just to block the front door from opening. We continued up the stairs to see if the upstairs rooms were emptied too. At the top of the steps, I shined my flashlight down the hallway. There were three doors. We opened the first two, and they were both empty bedrooms. Then I opened the third, and not surprisingly, it was empty too, but this room was much smaller than the others. The reason this confused all of us was because there were no more rooms next to it, so based on the layout of the house, it was easy to assume that this room was supposed to be double the size of the others since there were no more doors. With nothing left to see, we started back down the stairs, but as we got halfway down, we all heard the same thing. It sounded like a ball hitting the floor, rolling, then quickly and intentionally being stopped. It came from upstairs, where we just were. Cautiously, we checked each of the rooms again and found nothing. All of us hearing the exact same thing made it extra odd because we all knew it happened, but there was nothing upstairs. After that, we were all getting uncomfortable and we quickly left the house through the same window we came in from. We walked to the front where the car was and got in. Just before I pulled out though, I noticed two windows upstairs on the left side of the house, and I specifically remembered that the small room we were confused by only had one window. I pointed this out to my friends, and we all sat there, staring at the second floor windows and trying to figure out what was going on. Then there was a sudden flicker of a shadow moving across the blinds, followed by a dim light glowing from behind the window. In the light, the figure of a man could be seen, looking out the window at us. I put the car in drive, did a U-turn, and sped down the dirt road, getting out of there as fast as possible. After some discussion, Mikey convinced us to call the police, but the police found nothing in the house. Whoever was there had moved out, and probably took everything with them. When I think back on it now, I'm just happy that we didn't try too hard to search for any more rooms when we were up there. If we did, I wouldn't doubt it if whoever was hiding in there was prepared to take drastic measures not to be found.